A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 169. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England.
50 years since Doctor Who was first broadcast. And we will have some contributions from fellow fans and from a few Doctor Who actors with greetings throughout this episode. So, happy anniversary to Doctor Who.
Woohoo! Yes. Earlier this year, we celebrated 60 years of Quatermass. And now, if you're listening to this on the day of release or thereabouts, you'll know it's Doctor Who's 50th birthday, and here we are doing our own little bit to celebrate as well.
Absolutely.
And of course, what can we say about Doctor Who? I'm sure if you're listening to us, you're familiar with the show, the absolute classic British science fiction television show of all time, and first broadcast famously on November the 23rd, 1963. And of course, it also got a repeat a week later, that first show, on November the 30th, and still on our screens now, of course.
Hello, my name's Louise Jensen, and I play the character Leela in Doctor Who. I'm here to welcome you to British Invaders, the podcast all about British science fiction television. Welcome.
Tom Baker here to promote British Invaders. Don't miss it. You won't regret it. Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. Toodaloo.
26 years running until the end of the 80s, and came back briefly in the 90s, and then again back in 2005, and is still running. Series 7 has now aired. And we won't get into the sort of basic premise of Doctor Who because it's so well known and listeners will know it. But we did cover Doctor Who in some detail way back in British Invaders episodes 3 and 4 in 2007, where we did a nice big summary of Doctor Who, at least the state of it at the time. And in 2008, British Invaders 31 and 32, we did another discussion talking about the missing episodes of Doctor Who, and covered that topic about the episodes that have been wiped and are no longer exist in video form to see. We will get back to that idea a little bit later in the show as well.
Yeah, fascinating to go back and listen to our shows about the missing episodes, because as everybody knows, there has been some exciting progress since 2008.
Yes, absolutely.
And as we say, Doctor Who, the longest running science fiction television show in television history, as far as we know, you know, it is the absolute giant. We can't ignore it, and we can't ignore this fantastic 50th anniversary celebration.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a show that has been incredibly influential. I think it sort of changed how children's television and television oriented towards children and adults was made. If you look at things that are earlier, they're quite different and, for the most part, really not as good. And they went to this idea of family viewing, that it was meant for children and for adults both, and it was not produced by the children's department of the BBC. It was from the drama department and produced like a drama. And that gave it an incredible boost and made it into something that was new and different and very successful. In addition to the fact, of course, that very early on, in only the second story, they introduced the Daleks, which were also very new and very different. The idea that you would see a villain that was not a person or sort of a rubbery monster, but this wheeled device moving around with a single eyepiece and a weapon and so on, and that incredible voice that was done with a ring modulator that gave us something very powerful and very new way back in the 60s and led to what was called the Dalek Mania, where Daleks were very popular all over the place in England. And that was sort of what launched Doctor Who to the type of success it had.
Okay, so for the 50th anniversary, of course, there have been lots of special events, special releases, special shows, and bits of bonus material. So let's run through them.
Yeah, there are lots of great things happening for the anniversary. Probably the best known is the TV series, the current new Doctor Who series, is doing a special episode that will run 75 minutes. It's called The Day of the Doctor, and it releases on the anniversary date, November 23rd. So that's broadcast, depending where you are, sometime today as this releases. And it is a 3D filmed episode, and it features the current Doctor, the 11th Doctor, Matt Smith, as well as the previous Doctor, David Tennant, the 10th Doctor. And you have one or two other returning characters and a big event with that. And it is not only being shown on the BBC, it is being shown at the same time in Canada and the US and other countries. A big effort to get it out at the same time all over the place. And it is being shown in 3D in movie theaters or cinemas. Those are happening in many countries across the world as well.
All sorts of ways to see this fantastic, hopefully, show to celebrate the 50th anniversary. And if you've seen the end of Series 7, you'll know that there's some interesting plot points to be resolved, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. There's a definite lead in there. We also have some books coming out from BBC Books. There's a series of reprints where they are taking older books that were from BBC Books or from Target Novels, one for each Doctor, and releasing those as reprints. So all 11 Doctors, there will be new 50th anniversary printings of one novel for each one that came out in past years. And in addition to those, there are some brand new novellas that are being released as ebooks only, one per month. Again, one for each Doctor, for the 11 Doctors. And I believe there is a print collection of those coming out as well. But the monthly releases they've been doing are as ebooks.
Okay, interesting. As well as books, we also have Doctor Who stamps, which were released earlier this year by the Royal Mail here in the UK. So you can get stamps with the faces of all the 11 Doctors to date. Plus there were some various other stamps, including some of the famous monsters. There were various presentation packs, different ways that you could purchase these. They're still available on the Royal Mail's own website, or you may find them on eBay and other places, and they're rather nice, a nice way to celebrate.
Yes, very, very snazzy they are.
Yeah, they are indeed. And something I'm particularly looking forward to as we record this, and hopefully we'll have seen it by the time this episode is released, the BBC's own retelling of the sort of origins of Doctor Who, how the original series became to be made, a drama of this real life happening, written, of course, by lifelong Doctor Who fan, Doctor Who actor and Doctor Who writer Mark Gatiss, with a particularly impressive cast, recreating all the original people involved in the production and the actual actors who appeared in the first Doctor Who stories. So really something to look forward to, an adventure in time and space.
Yes, and that is a docudrama about the process of producing many of the things that were done in the first few years of Doctor Who. So they have actors playing the actors who were in Doctor Who originally, but they also have actors playing the directors and producers and so on.
Okay, we then have some interesting stories on audiobook, and these were a co-production between AudioGo, which was the BBC's audio production company, and Big Finish, who we know very well for their long-running classic Doctor Who stories on audio. This was a series of stories called Destiny of the Doctor, and they produced one story for each of the 11 Doctors. And as we recall, they've all been released apart from the 11th Doctor one, I think, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And those are quite good. They are a little bit like the Big Finish Companion Chronicles, but unlike the Companion Chronicles, they're narrated in a third-person mode. So they're not narrated in character as the Companion Chronicles are. You have one actor from Doctor Who, usually a companion, narrating that story and providing the voice of that companion and the Doctor and so on. And there's usually one additional actor in there as well, adding things to it. And because this is an AudioGo release, it is the first time that Big Finish is producing something with the new Doctors, with new series-based things. And that is quite special. There's some neat stuff there.
Okay. And of course, while we're on the subject of Big Finish, we should talk about their own series of celebrations of the 50th anniversary.
They've been doing lots of exciting things. The main anniversary story they're doing is called The Light at the End. This has already been released. It was released in October. And it is a multi-doctor story that features basically all of the classic Doctors, the first eight Doctors. In particular, they have the surviving actors, Tom Baker, Peter Davison, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, and Paul McGann. Doctors 4 through 8 are all in it, as well as, I believe, other actors doing the earlier Doctors. So they have a real celebratory multi-doctor story in the tradition of the five Doctors and the three Doctors, which is very nice.
Yes, we all love a multi-doctor story, and if you want a classic multi-doctor story for your 50th anniversary, look no further than The Light at the End, which I have listened to, and it is fantastic. Highly recommended.
The main range of Big Finish Doctor Who audios, these are the roughly once per month releases that are double CD, full cast adventures. They have what they're calling the 1963 trilogy, which is a group of three stories. Those are coming out in September, October, November. And they feature in order Doctors 5, 6, and 7, Peter Davison, Colin Baker, and Sylvester McCoy. And each one is set in 1963 and has elements in it that tie to the situation and things that were happening and were current in 1963. So the first one riffs on the idea of the rise of the Beatles. And the second is tied to the space race, and so on and so forth. So they have some interesting things happening there. And the one I've heard so far was very good. They also have a run of the Companion Chronicles, three of those that form a trilogy. These are coming out in November, December, and January. It's the Quadrigger Stoin trilogy, which starts with a First Doctor story with Carol Ann Ford as Susan narrating, and actually deals with how the Doctor left Gallifrey originally, which should be interesting. And we don't know yet, as of recording, exactly how it deals with that, but they are introducing this new character, Quadrigger Stoin, played by Terry Molloy, who was also Davros on Doctor Who and has done many roles for Big Finish. and they have three stories involving this character. They have a second Doctor story and a fourth Doctor story. So they have some very interesting things happening with that. The January story will be a double disc companion chronicle with a fourth Doctor era, with Lala Ward reprising the role of Romana, and they have a future version of Romana played by Juliet Landau. So some really neat things happening there.
Okay, so some good stuff. And then also another very interesting project that comes out from Big Finish, and this is a free podcast done by Toby Haydoke, who's a very funny man, who another lifelong Doctor Who fan and actor, does a very funny one-man show about Doctor Who. And he has been doing a project which he's called Toby Haydoke's Who's Round. And he's been trying to interview somebody involved with every story from Doctor Who over the 50 years and to collect an anecdote connected with the production of every story. These come out every sort of week or so at the moment. As I say, it's a free podcast, and some of them are absolutely delightful, Brian. The people that he's met and the stories that he's got reveal some fascinating bits of the history of the production of the show, and it's a really lovely way to celebrate, I think, the 50 years.
Yes, absolutely. He's talked to all kinds of people, from actors and directors to people doing costume design and people involved in all sorts of ways in productions, going back to the early 1960s shows up to some things that were just from earlier this year and things that are happening now. And of course, he's talking to these people about other things in their careers as well. So for a free thing you can listen to, it gives you an enormous amount of discussion and anecdotes and stories and things that we really haven't heard before about Doctor Who. And then lots of other things in British television and stage and screen and radio type things as well. So some very good things in there.
Yes, it's a lovely series. Do check it out. Toby Haydoke's Who's Round, which again you can find at bigfinish.com.
Hello, my name's Toby Haydoke. I'm delighted to be on British Invaders wishing Doctor Who a happy 50th anniversary. Hurrah!
Hello, it's Lisa Bowerman here, a.k.a. Bernie Summerfield, amongst others, with Doctor Who. Happy 50th anniversary to everybody for the Doctor Who anniversary at British Invaders podcast. I hope you will have a very jolly time.
And we should mention some other releases. You may remember something called the Cyberman Archive, which I believe came out originally on cassette in the early 90s, Brian.
Yes, it did. I still have those cassettes.
Fantastic.
Four cassettes it was, as separate purchases.
This was a history of the Cybermen race as narrated by the Cyber Leader himself or itself. And this was by David Banks, I believe. And these have all been re-released on CD earlier this year, so you can get those through Amazon or your marketplace of choice.
I think they're available as iTunes downloads or downloads from somewhere as well.
Okay. Also, we've got comic books, IDW, which has held the Doctor Who license for comic books, has been producing a series. Again, it's a multi-Doctor story, so there is one issue for each of the 11 Doctors, and that is nearing its conclusion at the moment, and I've about halfway through the series, and it's jolly good stuff as well.
Okay, interesting stuff.
Absolutely.
Something else that's been happening for the anniversary is that the British Film Institute, the BFI, has been running roughly monthly events, one for each Doctor, doing a retrospective where they show one story in a live event that people can go to and watch, and have a panel discussion with sometimes actors or writers for people who were involved with that era of the show, talking about things that were done at the time. So it gives gives nice little extra insight. And some of those discussions, some of those panel discussions, are available now on YouTube.
Okay, interesting stuff. I haven't been able to get to any of those, but as you say, it may be worth going to YouTube and checking them out, because as you say, they've managed to have something about each of the doctors, and it's nice to have the British Film Institute on board with the celebrations. And then finally, if you're looking perhaps for the Christmas present or other seasonal present for the Doctor Who fan, then you could probably not do, you couldn't do too much worse than the 50th anniversary Union Jack Dalek toy, a 12-inch Dalek decorated in Union Jack colours to celebrate the 50th birthday.
It's quite impressive looking, I must say. I was tempted when I saw one when I was in England recently, but it was definitely too big to bring home on the plane and carry around with me. There have also been a series of broadcasts called Doctor Who Revisited that have been going on BBC America in the US, and now the BBC has now picked them up in the UK, where they are showing a new little documentary with reactions about the different doctors. They have, again, one for each doctor. And they, with those, they show one story from each doctor as they go through it as well. So they've been doing good things with that, with broadcasts.
Okay. And of course, we mentioned presents for the Doctor Who fan. And of course, we've had recently perhaps the biggest birthday present of them all, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. This is something that was very exciting. Some of the missing episodes have now been recovered and restored. Specifically, 9 episodes from Series 5 of the classic series. This is 1967, 1968. These were black and white episodes featuring Patrick Troughton as the Doctor. And we now have 2 consecutive stories that we really didn't have before.
That's right. We now have all 6 episodes of a story called Enemy of the World, which I'm sure you're familiar with, has Patrick Troughton in a double role playing opposite a villainous version of himself. Previously, there was only 1 episode in the archive, and now we have all 6 episodes.
And we also have the following story, The Web of Fear. Again, we only had 1 episode in archive before, and now we have 5 of the 6 episodes. And the restoration that they have done with these looks very good, and they have distributed these already to fans through iTunes downloads. We do have, as we record, DVDs coming up. They haven't been released yet, but the iTunes downloads have already been released at the same time as the announcements. So we have now got to see a couple of stories that we never thought we would be able to see again. Or to see it all for most of us who didn't see them in the 60s. So that is very exciting.
And the restoration is very exciting as well, because they look on iTunes, they look fabulous, don't they, Brian?
Yes, they certainly do.
And we got the chance to discuss the new finds of these missing episodes with some fans while we were at the Dimensions 2013 convention here in Newcastle in the UK. And you can hear what their reactions were just now.
Hello, this is Brian from Canada.
This is Eamon from England.
This is Alf from England.
This is Amy from England.
And this is Richard from England.
Hello. We are here at the Dimensions 2013 convention, and we are talking about the recent finds of missing episodes.
So what about Web of Fear? Have you seen Web of Fear?
I've seen the sole episode we had prior to this.
Right.
I had the Lost in Time DVD collection. Yeah, I always feel that in some ways it is great that we now have the complete Web of Fear. But I can't remember who said it, but there was another point that someone made that it was, in some ways you'd rather have a bit of every episode than a complete episode that you previously had a bit of.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can tell an awful lot about what the entirety of the Web of Fear was like just from watching episode 3. You can tell sort of the mood, the direction, how the actors were playing it. I'm not saying that having them back is a bad thing. It is an incredibly good thing. We're finally back below 100 missing, and over half of Troughton's back. But to trade, like, maybe episode 2 of Web of Fear for an episode of Marco Polo, or something else that is completely missing and we have no visual representation of it. I don't know. I wouldn't say they're a bad thing, obviously.
But you'd like a bit more of others as well.
Yeah, but okay. Because, I mean, you can get an awful lot out of what an episode was like just from a part that does exist, whereas we have very little knowledge of missing episodes, like, I mean, Mission to the Unknown and Mythmakers are practically... Yeah. We have practically no knowledge of what they looked like. We got the audio files, thank goodness, but maybe one episode of that just to see how the direction worked and get a better feel for the overall tone of the story.
In the way that finding one episode of Galaxy 4 in 2011 got us a much better picture of that story.
Exactly, yes. But I'd never knock finding old Doctor Who, of course. So,
Amy, have you had a chance to see any of these recurring episodes?
We saw the end of the...
In the Enemy of the World.
Enemy of the World. That was really good. It was really cool.
It's a very powerful story, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really strange to see him play so many different characters, which I thought was really good because his accent was a bit dodgy out of that one. But, you know, it's still... I thought it was quite good.
I mean, Patrick Troughton's such a great actor, and to see him acting against himself is fantastic, isn't it? Yeah. I had always thought from the existing episode and from the audio and reconstructions that Enemy of the World was a great story. It was actually my number one hope, you know, my number one choice of what could be recovered, and that's one something that was recovered in its entirety. And I have to say, that was one that really impressed me. I like these sort of political drama type stories, and it did that very well. But on top of that, especially Triton's performance in it, in what's really like three roles, with playing the Doctor, playing the villain Salamander, and playing the Doctor imitating Salamander. Wonderful performance. And it gave us something that was like a masterclass in performing both the hero and the villain in the story, I thought.
I think it's quite different as well, the fact that he's playing so many different characters. I've only just started watching the older series. We've been watching like one episode or two episodes a day. So from an impartial view, it's quite different and it's good to see. Mm.
And it's also different from a Doctor Who point of view. It's very James Bondy and very like sort of like about dictators, which it touches a bit, but not that much. And the fact that Troughton plays the dictator as well as the hero of the story, I think that is totally different.
I think it kind of shows like a psychological thing as well. It's like so many people could have so many different types of thoughts and we wouldn't even know about it. Mm. So I think it's quite cool to think about the thinking of different ways that they could take the Doctor and how he could represent different people and stuff. So it's quite cool.
Did you like the restoration on the episodes you've seen?
Yeah, I thought it was very good.
Because we know that the restoration team have had them for, what, the last 3 or 4 months and not been able to tell anybody, and they've been working on them, and the image quality and sound is fantastic, yes. I think. Yeah.
Although I haven't seen a before and after.
No.
So we can't...
We presume we have to wait to the DVD set to see some of those comparisons.
There are some comparisons in the iTunes trailer.
Right.
It shows
right.
you a little bit of before or after. It doesn't show you very much, but it shows you a little bit.
So the other thing, I guess, to mention, and we heard about it probably in the first talk of today at Dimensions, was the rumours continue that these 9 episodes are not the whole find, that there may still be more out there. Richard?
There was something very funny about that. I found out, of course, on the BBC website, they did a pre-release saying that some old Doctor Who has been found, but we're not telling you how much and we're not telling you which ones. I'll tell you on Thursday. Which was... incredibly infuriating. So when I got home, I decided to do a web search to see if I could find any sort of insider sources or just a little bit more information. And it was quite amusing that the only source I could find which pinned a number on the amount of episodes found was the website of a popular British newspaper, who I won't mention by name just in case, who stated that they'd found that the number of missing episodes found was in fact the entire 106 missing episodes, which made me laugh a little bit internally. But no, the rumours were flying around everywhere. I mean, most people say Patrick Troughton, but that's law of averages, really.
Yeah.
So much more of his missing than there is.
I find it a bit strange that all these rumours were flying around for the last 8 months that all these stories have turned up. Then two turn up, and the rumours are still flying. Then, like you said, the newspaper gets hold of it, TV reports get hold of it, then suddenly they found two stories. I find that a bit coincidental.
So is your feeling that the BBC might still have some more with the restoration team working on them?
I don't know. I'd like to say yes.
It's so hard to say, isn't it?
I know. Ideally, I'd say yes.
Okay. Of course, rumours have been going around about missing episode finds of various types for decades now. You know, since the 1980s, people have been talking about, oh, they found this, they found that. This is not really lost, they have poor quality copies, or so on and so forth. There certainly has been a big resurgence in this rumour about them finding huge amounts, but some of these rumours, yeah, I think need to be taken with more than a grain of salt. Yeah. They tend to exaggerate things.
If you look at the facts of this event, the fact is that clearly the BBC had these for 3 or 4 months while they were restoring them and didn't tell anybody.
That's
so
right.
It is entirely possible that the BBC still have some and didn't tell any and sort of just had to let these two out just to appease.
But then again, it's quite coincidental, the fact that it's the anniversary as well, isn't it?
Yes, the birthday present, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a traditional question. It was asked this morning at the panel, but if you could get just one story, or as Richard said, maybe just one episode of a missing story to give us an idea of what it looked like, have you any ideas which story you would choose?
Evil of the Daleks.
Evil of the Daleks.
I'm not really sure because I've only just started watching them.
Right.
So I'll have to go with him.
Okay.
I'm going to be difficult. I've got two. One for a complete story, which would be Power of the Daleks. But for an individual episode, just for the hilarity factor, we need Feast of Stephen back. Once we've got that, we're done.
You want to see the first Doctor turn to camera and wish us all a happy Christmas.
I want the original Christmas special.
The
original Christmas special.
Okay. And Power of the Daleks, of course, you know, a very interesting story because it would showed what was going to happen with Patrick Troughton taking on for the first time.
I think it's such a seminal thing that we've lost, because if that one had never been lost, if we'd never lost Power of the Daleks, we wouldn't have lost half of what we lost.
Sure.
Because no one bought Patrick Troughton stories, because you couldn't introduce a character straight off the bat without their introductory story.
Mm.
So I think more for what it symbolises rather than...
Right.
It's a thumping great story as well, let's be honest. But for what it symbolises, Power of the Daleks would be the one I'd want back with us.
Very and good. What would be your choice story, Eamon? I think Power of the Daleks, I would love to see, at least if we could only get the first episode, to see that moment when the show changed, but also became, you know, possible to rebirth itself every few years. So I think that would be a very powerful moment. But the traditional answer is Marco Polo, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'd all like to see at least one episode of Marco Polo.
Mm.
I'll throw a different one in there and say Fury from the Deep. Cool. Yep.
Yeah.
So there are still, of course, 97 missing episodes. I never thought it would be down to double digits.
Yeah.
Let's hope there are more still to come. Let's hope they're out there somewhere being restored and that they found more on dusty shelves in strange television stations around the world. Absolutely, here, here. Well, I'd like to thank you. Yeah, we'd like to thank you for taking time out of a busy convention day. That will wrap it up, Brian.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks
very
much
for the convention.
Hello, it's Matthew Waterhouse here on the British Invaders podcast. Happy 50th anniversary to Doctor Who. We're having a wonderful time celebrating it all over the place.
This is John Leeson, voice of K-9, and this is British Invaders, the podcast all about British science fiction television. Very good.
So thank you to Alf, Amy and Richard for joining us for that. That was really fun.
Okay. And also, if you get the chance to join us, we are planning, we're not quite sure when this will happen, but we are planning to have a shared viewing of An Unearthly Child, which we'll carry out as an exercise on the Facebook group. Obviously, we won't be doing this today, the 23rd, because we'll all be far too busy watching The Day of the Doctor, I suspect, Brian. But we hope in the next week or two to have something on the Facebook group where we will all go back and have a look at that first episode together. So watch the Facebook group if that's something you'd be interested in.
Yes, absolutely.
So I guess that will wrap us up for this episode.
I think so.
We've been celebrating the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, probably our favourite and the sort of ultimate British television science fiction show. And if you're interested in British television science fiction, of course, come back next time for the second part of our Blake 7 audio adventures discussion.
Yes, absolutely. Please do. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We are part of the Geek Culture Network, so if you go to thegeekculturenetwork.com, you can find us there. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find lots of fun discussions with us and with lots of listeners. It's good stuff.
Yeah, if you're not on the Facebook group, do come and find us and join in, hopefully, with a viewing of An Unearthly Child. Or you may find us on vognetwork.com, which is the voice of geeks streaming radio on the internet, where British Invaders goes out as one of their shows on Monday nights and Tuesday nights. And as ever, we welcome all our VOG listeners.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Happy birthday to Doctor Who. And this is Eamon in England also signing off.